Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
All right, brothers. Well, it's good to be together this morning. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good. Greg, are you sure about that?
No, I'm sick. I'm sick as a dog.
Oh, man. What's going on?
I've just got this cough thing.
Yeah.
You can hear it in my voice. I sound like my brother-in-law, Aaron. This is what he sounds like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's the one benefit, you know. Yeah. I could just sound like a bass for a while.
Yeah. Well, we'll take it easy on you this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Kyle, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well.
Doing well?
Yes.
Good. All right, brother. Hit us with a good question.
Yeah. All right. So my stepbrother recently left his wife and 2 kids for another woman. It came unexpectedly and has devastated both sides of the family. He hasn't seen or spoken to my parents or his siblings since he left them. We've been supporting our sister and daughter-in-law and the children through this as much as we can. I want to reach out to my brother, but I'm angry and disgusted by his actions, and I don't want to say things that will only serve to tear him down. What's worse, he says he's a Christian, or at least claimed to be one for years, but his behavior throughout has seriously made me doubt his salvation. As an angry and concerned sister, how should I biblically handle the situation?
So the thing that jumps out to me at first is, like, she says he claims to be a Christian.
Right.
So I always want to treat somebody like a Christian if they claim to be a Christian. So I'm just going to confront this guy like I would a Christian.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I would begin by saying there is much to be commended in what this individual has said. Mm-hmm. First, she understands the devastating effects of sin and how sin offends God, right? Two, she clearly has a concern for her stepbrother. Praise God for that. Third, she wants to help her stepbrother in a biblical way. In addition to that, she doesn't want to say things that will tear him down. So she wants to employ wisdom and discretion, and maybe she and her husband are supporting the family members affected by sin. These are all very good things, and they should be commended.
Yeah, it's very encouraging.
Yeah, I want to, when I was reading this, I was just thinking of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians. And she, you know, she mentioned that, and Greg, you mentioned it too, you know, treating him like a believer. And Paul even says, and, you know, is it not those inside the church whom we're to judge? So in terms of her thoughts of how do I handle this biblically, well, I'd say, one, she is supposed to hold him accountable to his claim that he is a believer. Paul even says elsewhere, you know, we're supposed to judge those who claim to be a brother. And this brother is claiming to be a brother. And though they're having, it sounds like there's not really communication at this point. I don't know how long it's passed since this started, but you know, I would say, you know, do what you can to reach out to be gracious, and get to a place where you can have those conversations about his claim to being a believer.
Yeah. I think in addition to that, I would say don't immediately label this person an unbeliever, and that's what we're talking about, because even the best, quote-unquote, Christians can be entangled or get entangled in worldly vices, right?
That's right.
The goal is to point this person to Jesus, hoping that he will repent and begin the process of making things right with those affected by his sin.
Mm. Yeah, that's such a good point. I think, you know, I even did it myself. I just immediately said in my head, not a believer because of how great a sin is, but that's not an appropriate response. God's grace is more, I mean, we should be just in awe of his grace, because the sins that those throughout church history and our own lives that we've heard of, I mean, we've all been shocked by hearing sin, and we're all aware of our own sin and how terrible it is, and we have times where we're thinking, there's no way I'm a believer, at least I have, and that is a good place to start, I think.
That's the whole point of church discipline, you know. It's not just to get unbelievers out of the church, it's to persuade believers who are acting like unbelievers to kind of shock their system and bring them back to the fold.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think
that's where loving confrontation comes in.
Right. I think another temptation that, you know, needs to be dealt with too is the thought that there's no way there's ever going to be reconciliation. I can think of countless stories of sexual morality within marriage, and then hearing about them reconciling, which again blows my mind, because I think about if I were in that situation, how hard it would be. but you hear about them reconciling. I've even heard words like their marriage was even sweeter afterwards because of how lavishly God's grace was poured into that. So don't even rule out the fact that there could be reconciliation in the marriage.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Brothers, what about this? We must acknowledge this person's hurt. Obviously, there's a lot of hurt in this situation. Yet, she needs to realize God's sovereignty over it. What would you say to that?
Now, you're talking about the questioner.
Yeah, right.
Recognize the questioner's hurt.
Yeah.
And God's sovereignty in it.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's nothing. I don't know how I slept at night before I was reformed.
Yeah.
I was not reformed. Not, I got to do my math here. I'm 43. I was not reformed for the first 23 years of my life, so yeah. I'm getting close to halfway.
The dark years.
It was the dark years, but I really don't know how I slept, because when you got a God that's not in control of absolutely everything.
Right.
Man, how do you sleep?
Yeah.
That is a really helpful thing to think about. God is in control of all the things, these things, and he is inevitably forcing this situation to do good for the believers in the situation. Mm,
yeah.
If her brother is a believer, mm-hmm. God's going to force this to do him good. If her sister-in-law is a believer, he's going to force it to do her good.
Right.
That's really comforting. And the questioner, he's going to force it to do her good. That the child that's involved is going to force it to do the child good.
Right.
That's something really important to cling to in situations like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I just, without understanding that God is in control of every detail in our lives, I think it would give way to hopelessness, and I think that would be the worst place to be, is not having any hope. I mean, the darkness that you could imagine there. So remembering that the Lord's, his ways are above our ways. So I wouldn't even say that you can comprehend what's going on necessarily in the midst of all this, but that's, you're not looking to, you know, your circumstances and details, and you know, your hope's not dependent on things going a certain way. Your hope's in God himself. So yeah, I would say look to him, realize that not only is he in control, but he's good, and he's doing wonderful things through this.
Yeah, very good. So let's offer some hands-on counsel at this point. What would you guys advise this young lady to do?
I would say she needs to reach out and pursue him, obviously. She wants to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation, I think, you know, as we've already said, it would include, hey, you claim to be a believer. Here's what the Bible says to believers about this. One thing that comes to my mind is 1 Timothy 5. In 1 Timothy 5, we're told that somebody who doesn't take care of their family is worse than an unbeliever.
Right.
So allow, you know, bring scriptures like that to bear on your brother's conscience, mm-hmm. and just let it soak there. You should not probably expect him to repent like right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just bring some scripture to bear on that. This is the first thing that comes to mind, to my mind. It's 1 Timothy 5.
Right.
Someone who doesn't take care of his family is worse than an unbeliever. Mm-hmm. You guys have any ideas?
I would say, to add to that, she should also, she mentioned she's concerned that she might be angry or say the wrong things. I would encourage her, maybe meditate on the fruit of the Spirit, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, love, gentleness, self-control, these kind of things.
Right.
And then make sure through prayer and these kind of things that she's in a place where she can then rebuke him correctly. I'm thinking of personal experience here where I'm angry, and then you just bring the Bible in like a sledgehammer, and it has no effect. And I know that would be a temptation for me, at least. So I would be trying to get to a place where I'm self-controlled, not letting my emotions speak for me, so that I can level-headed, bring God's word to bear on the situation.
So you're speaking of being prepared before the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
With that, I would advise her to settle the anger in her own heart. Mm. She needs to speak the truth in love, and love must be the motivation of her heart. Mm. There should be a sincere desire to see this individual reconciled to God and his family, not just to make herself feel better about the situation.
Yeah.
I would also advise her to get counsel on what she would say. She needs to have some sort of plan going into the conversation. The plan could involve elements of timing, place, how to respond to further sin, etc. I would also advise her to help her stepbrother evaluate his sin, as we've been talking about, in light of Scripture. Don't preach at him. Don't talk down to him. Ask lots of questions. Put the Scriptures in front of this individual, and then mm-hmm. draw him out. And obviously, keep reaching out to the family members affected by your stepbrother's sin. What a wonderful way to express the love of Christ in a dark situation. Mm-hmm. And then bathe the situation in prayer.
Amen.
That is a must. And then keep in mind, God will be glorified no matter what the outcome is. So trust that He is working even this situation for the good of His people.
Amen.
Another thing that comes to mind. Now I'm coming back with the hammer now. Okay.
Okay.
Like if I'm talking to a believer, I would want them to know. Let's call it the velvet hammer. Okay.
The velvet hammer.
Because this is a loving thing to say to somebody.
Soft blow. Yeah, absolutely.
This is a loving thing to say. I would think that there are all of these command or things in the New Testament, and 1 Timothy 5 is one of them, to the effect that somebody who's really a believer persists in the faith and they persist in faithfulness. And if her brother persists in willful rebellion, mm-hmm. it's an indication that he's not saved. So this is not
right.
just a situation where he's pursuing a hobby or something mm-hmm. that's displeasing to the Lord. We're talking about his soul. His mm-hmm. soul is in jeopardy here. Mm-hmm. And I think I would want to put that in front of him.
Yeah.
That he may be walking away from the faith.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So.
True.
So let's say she's prepared her heart well for the conversation. The conversation has happened. And then the time to wrap things up is nearing, and what does she do?
Pray.
Or maybe the situation didn't go well, the conversation
sure.
didn't go well. What does she do after?
I would say keep praying. I think of Jesus' own, when he's teaching the disciples to persist in prayer, and then he gives the parable about the man who receives a guest in the middle of the night, and he needs food, he doesn't have any, he goes to his neighbor's like, I'm in bed. Jesus says, well, if he keeps coming to that man, that guy's eventually going to get up and give him some food for his guest. I mean, the point being, just keep persisting in prayer. I think the temptation is, oh, it didn't go well, it's all over, we give up. You keep praying, you keep pursuing. But yeah, I think there's a point though also where you treat him like an unbeliever. You tell him, you've claimed to be a brother and you're persisting in sin, and you get to that point where you maybe have to be blunt with him on that, but just keep praying throughout.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. So keep praying, keep close to God's word in all of this. And I would advise this individual to stay close to God's people. Mm. Why? Mm-hmm. Why is that important? Through this entire thing, brothers, what do you think?
It reminds you constantly that your hope is not in your brother repenting, but your hope is in the Lord.
Yeah,
which we all need all the time. It's
right.
so easy in the midst of crises to begin to believe that, man, if this crisis doesn't go the right way, then I'm doomed.
Right,
and that just isn't the case.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And forgive me for not knowing the scripture reference, but I'm just thinking of Paul again telling, the body, God has put us all through similar things so that we can be comforted and then share that comfort with a brother and sister. So, and there's going to be scenarios where other brothers and sisters have been through similar things like this, and they're able to bring that specific comfort in their situation to you. And mm-hmm. just like you all said, just being with sometimes you're in proximity to them, you're enjoying fellowship, you're refreshed, you're encouraged to just persevere and keep going.
Yeah, I would say one huge benefit to staying close to God's people is keeping yourself from developing a bitter heart and a bitter spirit toward your brother, toward the situation. And again, you want the heart of Christ in all of this. You want to continue to point this person toward Christ that he might repent and begin the process of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, y'all, that was a lot of good stuff. I hope listeners, I hope that you enjoyed this. I hope that it's helpful to you. And please share it if you did find it helpful. Till next time. This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.